How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabae, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabae sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to our continuing coverage of the trial of Alex Murdaugh, day number 15 here on the 14th of February, 2023. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our continued coverage and discussions on this case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's go straight to the courtroom.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Day number 17, cross-examination.
Your Honor. Yes. Good morning, Dr. Reamer.
Good morning.
Let me at the outset say we're going to be described yesterday as you went through direct. We saw some very graphic images, and I apologize, but we're going to have to do that again today. You, of course, this is what you see every day, but I'm sure you understand how other people may, especially people related to the deceased, might react to that.
Of course.
Now, let me also explain at the outset, until I read your autopsy report, I had never really considered the mechanics of a shotgun or an AR-15 or blackout impact on a human body. So I'm learning even as we speak, and I hope I can learn some things today that help me understand your opinions, and also help me understand what may have happened or didn't happen, okay? So if I ask you questions that seem simplistic, understand my understanding of this process is somewhat basic. So I'm going to try to walk through this in a way I can glean what the evidence is and what your conclusions are, okay?
Absolutely.
So tolerate my somewhat sophomoric approach to this, if you would. Okay?
Of course. And I'm sure you'll be fine.
So let me understand, first of all, let's talk about Maggie for just a minute. And were you shown photographs of the back of her thigh that were taken at the scene?
No.
The back of her calf, I'm sorry.
I did not.
Okay. So let me see if I can find these. And it'll take me just a second. I thought I had them laying right out here. I apologize. I thought I had everything sitting right here. Apparently, I may. Okay, here we go.
You don't have to show it to opposing counsel to present to continue with the witness.
This is not in evidence. I apologize. Your Honor, I would offer into evidence Defendant's Exhibit 115.
Any objection?
No objection from the State, Your Honor.
Could I get that, please, on the screen? Have you seen that photograph before?
No, I have not.
Okay. I noticed in your autopsy report, you remark that there is a bruise on the back of the leg in that similar position, correct?
Oh, I don't recall. Can
Could
I?
Could you look, please? Thank you.
I don't see in my report where I'm remarked on, of a bruise on the left leg.
Okay, so was there a bruise on the right leg?
I don't have any, I didn't make any comment about that in my report.
No one asked you to opine about any issue on the back of her left calf?
No, and I did not observe that at autopsy.
And by the time it got to autopsy, had her body been washed or?
No.
Okay, but if this is mud, you wouldn't necessarily expect to see it.
It could have fallen off, correct.
Correct. So, you were not asked to opine about whether this was whether there was bruising on the back of the left calf, which would have been consistent with somebody stepping on her calf.
No, I was not asked about that.
Okay. And you were not shown this photo?
Correct.
Okay. And just to deal with Maggie a little bit further, you testified yesterday that the shots were consistent, I think, with someone circling her?
Well, I didn't actually use that term. I said that she was shot from, at one point from behind her and at one point from above her. So that could mean that there was a, it could mean that she was turning before she got the first one and then fell, because she could have also been moving. Well, So
we know that the shooter was moving because some wounds have stippling, and soot. Am I saying that correctly?
Well, there was no soot, but just
now, what would soot indicate?
Soot is a contact wound.
Okay.
So she had stippling, which is not quite contact. It's further back.
3 to 4 feet?
Well, usually, we don't see it more than 3 feet away.
Okay.
So it's somewhere within 3 feet.
Okay. And so she may have been turning. The shooter may have been moving straight on. I mean, if that's as good an explanation for what you saw as somebody circling her, correct?
Yes. I mean, from my perspective, based on the autopsy, that is a reasonable explanation.
Of course. So the reasonable explanation is she's moving, trying to perhaps avoid being shot, turning around, trying to run, whatever, right?
Well, she could be turning around after getting the initial shots.
Right.
And then if the shooter was still stationary, then she could have gotten that one. So it doesn't imply that she could have been moving, not just the shooter.
Okay. And the ones without stippling were the barrel of the gun would have been more than 4 feet away from her.
Well, you know, it's kind of a rough estimate, but I would say, you know, it would be more than 3 feet, possibly more than that.
And that would be the barrel, the end of the barrel of the gun.
That's right, because that's where the gunpowder starts coming out.
That doesn't mean the shooter was 3 feet away.
Absolutely
not.
Just the barrel of the gun.
Right. And you testified about why there was a wound that would appear to be parallel to her, and your indication is that the shot that would have hit her kidney or pancreas or whatever, she might have been bent over.
No. The injury to the pancreas and kidney was on the right side of the abdomen,
right,
and that went from front to back and exited the left back. The one that was kind of along parallel to her body was on the left side of the body going up.
So why did you testify that one of the shots would have been so painful she would have bent over? What was that consistent?
Yeah, that was the one to the right side of the abdomen. And the reason I believe it's probable, or, you know, quite likely that would have caused her to bend over is because a subsequent shot was going sort of upward in the body. And it's hard to imagine, you know, that wound going upward and then into the head unless she was bent over. So it's a possible explanation of how she was in a position to actually get that gunshot.
So she bent over and it would go upward. Why?
Because if somebody is standing behind her, and there's no close range here, but at least a few feet away.
So she got shot, turns around, bends over, and then you're saying?
She could have turned around or not turned around, or I don't know if she turned around or the shooter's moving.
Okay, did anybody ask you to look at the pattern of ejected shells from the blackout?
I wasn't asked to look at those.
Okay. So your conjecture, opinion is based on purely the wounds and trying to figure out how that happened.
Yes. So I basically, I do the autopsy. I have everything to do with the body. And at the time, I never heard anything about, I've composed my autopsy reports,
right,
without any reference to the scene.
Okay. So let me move along to Paul for the moment, okay? And you indicate that the first shot would have been buckshot to the chest.
I believe that that was most likely the first shot.
Well, because the second shot is basically executes him.
He would have fallen to the ground.
Right. And clearly he was upright when that first shot was made.
Yes.
Okay. And it goes in his chest. And would he have to be turned diagonally to the shooter for it to come out his left armpit?
No, not necessarily.
Well, if he shot straight on with that buckshot, and if that was a contact wound, or
no, it's a close range.
Close range. Closer than 3 feet.
Yes.
Okay. Can't estimate how far.
I can't. You'd have to test fire.
Okay. So the chest shot is. If it's straight on, wouldn't it just go right through his lungs and his heart? And
yes.
Okay.
So this was shot at an angle across. So that might indicate that his body was positioned perpendicular to the shooter. Now, the shooter could also shoot from the side, doesn't necessarily shoot from the front. So we can't be 100% sure about these things.
If you're the shooter and I'm Paul and you shoot me with that buckshot, if I'm faced to the side, would the results be consistent with your autopsy examination?
Yes.
Okay. And we know that some of those pellets, you think his arm was down by his side?
I feel confident about that.
Okay. And the reason for that is there are pellet holes in his arm, right?
No, that's not the reason. The reason is because there's bruising around the exit wounds, they're kind of shored exits, and then we have corresponding bruising on the underside of the arm. So it indicates that they were in close proximity at the time the pellets exited and then re-entered. Because if there was a distance, we wouldn't have the bruising around those wounds.
Okay. And do the pellets go through his arm?
There are pellets that exited through the arm.
And so there's little pellet holes.
Correct.
On his arm, exiting.
Yes.
Did you see a corresponding entrance wound with the pellets?
Yes. The entrance pellet wounds were on the inside of the arm.
Right. And then they go out, and I think they struck things after that, as far as you know.
I don't know what happened to them after they left the body.
So either the shooter is to his right.
Yes.
Shooting across.
Yes.
Okay, and you think that shooter would have been closer than 3 feet, but you can't say how close.
Right. He could have been to his right, or Paul may have turned his body in that perpendicular manner
But either way, there would have been almost immediate bleeding, well, not a fatal wound, there would have been immediate bleeding from that wound, correct?
There would have been bleeding. It's hard to say how much, but certainly I would expect some bleeding.
But if there were footprints found halfway into that feed room, and those are Paul's footprints, would that indicate to you that he had stepped in his own blood?
Oh, that's certainly possible.
Okay. Not inconsistent with what you have.
Correct.
And that second shot would have come, I mean, as I understand it, Mr. Barber, could you take your coat off and come here, please? I hate to do this to him, but I can't really do it to myself. So, if you would step down here, with permission, Your Honor, may she step down? Okay. And what I'd like to have you do is, we need to not block these folks over here. Let's see how we do this. Or that gentleman right there.
You want me to stand back here?
That would be good. And he's fine. They're fine. Well, unless I get in their way. Let me see if I can avoid not falling over. Okay, so we've already talked about this wound, left side, okay, this wound, which goes in right about here. Show the jury where the wound went in.
Yeah, it was like between the sternum and the left nipple. So kind of right over there.
Right over there. And Mr. Barber's a little bit taller. He was, I think, 5.
Yeah, I measured his height. I don't recall.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But I believe Mr. Barber's a little bit taller than he was. But I think we need to know that because I'm going to ask you to sort of chart things out. So the entrance wound is here. And it's consistent with him being, how about Mr. Barber, turn just a little bit that way. So the shot would have gone like this?
Yes. That's approximately correct. And it has a slightly front to back.
Slightly front to back.
Right,
about
but
like
mostly that. It's right to left.
Okay.
His right to left.
How about raise your left arm for me, please? So, and his arm was not raised, but I want to point out it comes out. We're going to see some pictures in a minute. Okay, turn a little bit this way. So it would have come out right under his arm.
Yes, we do have the exit pellet wounds there.
And we also have wadding, do we not?
Yeah, we have wadding stuck in the underside of his
okay.
left armpit.
And then it goes through his arm.
Yes.
Still coming front to back?
Well, it's from... It's left to right, but there is a slight front to back because we have some exit wounds on the back.
Okay, so if I told you this is a narrow room,
okay.
have you seen any crime scene photos?
From here? No.
From?
Oh, yeah, from this case. Crime scene photos in my career, yes.
In this case?
I really didn't. I may have been shown a very small photo, like a couple of weeks ahead of trial, but I didn't form any opinions based
if
on
if I told you that small room, the gap between some stacks of dog food here and the wall and a little thing over here is maybe 3 to 4 feet, and this buckshot goes through the back window
mm-hmm.
on this very narrow, very small, so that would be consistent with what you're saying. Some of the buckshot comes through, and that was buckshot that you shot with in the chest.
Yeah, it was shot. I don't remember the exact size.
Right.
Buckshot is usually bigger, but yeah.
Okay, assume I'm not misleading yeah. you. Okay.
Right. Okay. Some shot.
Buckshot yeah, goes through and hits the back window.
Uh-huh.
That leaves holes in the window and hits in the door, the window frame, and goes out. One of them embeds in a tree
uh-huh.
back behind. So that is consistent with your findings, correct?
Yes.
That first shot. I'm sort of intrigued. Is there anything about the exterior of this shot? What's beveling? You know what a bevel is, beveling?
Yes, of course. Beveling is a pattern of defect through a bone. So when there's a gunshot wound that, for instance, goes through, let's say we could get an entrance wound over here and an exit wound over here. We're talking about handgun wounds generally.
Right.
The way when there's basically a hole in one side of the skull, I can tell which is an entrance and which is an exit, even without looking at the skin. Okay, so for instance, if I get skeletonized remains with a hole through the head, I can see which is the entrance and which is the exit because the bone bevels in a characteristic way depending on the direction of the bullet.
What is a bevel?
Yeah, bevel is like an angled chipping away of a hard surface.
So if a bullet goes through, and I guess the head is because it's all bone, right?
It's a solid bone, right?
Right. So you can tell this is the entrance because, I mean, is it like...
It's the entrance on the outer table of the skull. It's a smaller hole. On the inner table of the skull, it's a bigger hole. So the bone is beveling outward as the bullet goes in.
So it would bevel in on the entrance and bevel out on the exit?
Yeah. Well, bevel in, meaning sometimes people don't always use these words consistently, even forensic pathologists. But there is a inward beveling, but means it's kind of beveled outward. So,
beveled outward inside the wound, you see something that would indicate
wider. Yes,
wider.
It's wider on the inner table of the skull than the outer table.
And when it exits, do you have a narrower bevel, if you will, or defect on the inside than on the outside?
Yes.
That was a lot. Okay. So, was there, since this didn't enter bone, is there beveling with the flesh?
No, it doesn't bevel because there's too much elasticity.
Okay.
And also just shredding. Frequently we can't see beveling on long bones either. The skull is kind of a flat bone, so it has that characteristic.
Okay, and the second shot, the as I understand it, you indicate, is, can you adjust, well, first of all, assume that he is, I can't assume that. So maybe we just forget about the feeding for just a minute, okay? So show the jury, please, where the initial, I mean, there's a shot, it's shot with a shotgun.
Yes.
And it is more than, since there's no stippling or sud or anything that would indicate a close shot, correct?
Correct.
So more than 3 or 4 feet away?
More than three, yes.
More than three. And where is the initial shot? Where does it hit him?
On the top of the left shoulder.
When you say the top?
The apex.
Okay. Are there pellets in here?
Yes.
In the apex?
Yes.
And I'm going to show you an x-ray in just a minute and have you demonstrate on Mr. Rund. Harvard, yes, Harvard. Where that hit. And they're shot in here.
Yes.
And you indicated you thought his chin was bent to the
yeah,
left.
This is something that I believe, not necessarily have to be bent, but I do think it was at least tilted in this direction. The reason being, if this is in a horizontal direction and then goes through his cheek, let's say he's just your head, I'm sorry, your head up. And let's say it's just going through here, and it would just kind of hit like over this side of his head, okay? But meanwhile, it's kind of over here. So, and then it's the exit wound is back there. So at least we have a little bit of directionality like this. I don't know, if he was completely turned to the left, it would have gone through his face. But I think it makes the most sense knowing that a wound travels in a straight line, basically. Of course, these are pellets, so there's going to be a lot of destruction. But the fact that his face was spared from damage indicates to me that he had his head somewhat turned, I don't know exactly how much, but that it kind of coursed the top of the left shoulder into this left, you know, neck, cheek area, and then exited the back of the head on the top.
Let me find the x-ray pictures while he's standing up there. Here we go. Good. Quentin, give me 1 second.
Excuse me, Dr. Morgan.
I'm going to show you where you're standing right there, these pictures, and see if you can identify them. And if so, we'll put them in evidence, and then I'll put them up on the screen. You to look at these three photos and tell me if you can identify it. Am I speaking loud enough for the court report?
Sorry.
Am I speaking loud enough when I'm facing that way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, these are x-rays that were taken at the commencement of the autopsy.
Okay. Your Honor, I would offer defendant's exhibits. One 111, 112, and 113.
No objection, Your Honor.
They're admitted.
So, could I have, please, step over.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, that's much better. Okay, so let's see. Okay, let's see 113, please. Okay, so this is his left arm, correct?
Yes.
And this material up here, we see these little dots. What is that?
Yeah, those are the shotgun pellets.
Okay. And they are, yeah, that's perfect. And so we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, along that line, 20, along the, this, these would be pellets that would be along here, correct?
Yes.
And they begin at, is this his shoulder, I mean the shoulder bone?
Yes, it's, no, the soft tissue of the shoulder, the soft tissue of the shoulder.
Okay, I'll give you the pointer, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, this is the humeral head.
On Mr. Barber where that
is. Yeah, this is the bone of the humerus. So our humerus is that long bone from the shoulder joint to the elbow joint, and we can see that this is basically, it's not really perforating the bone. There may be some defect at the edge of the bone, but it's pretty much on top in the soft tissues.
Okay, and it goes on for a ways, and then if you would show me exhibit number 112. Okay, and would you focus on the upper right-hand corner, please? There you go. Now, that corresponds to this large picture, that orientation.
Yes.
Okay, so what is this showing us?
There are significant numbers of pellets also in like the left neck area.
Show us on Mr. Barber where that would be.
Yeah, so the entrance is here, and pellets are basically spreading, so there are pellets in the left side of the neck area over here, and then there's also some going into the brain.
Okay, and let me see if I can count those. So, I mean, are these part of what we looked at before?
Yes.
Okay, and how far down did the new one start?
It's a different view, so may not include all of them.
Okay, so, but a number of them.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of the x-rays is basically to show what kind of ammunition is remains in the body, if any.
Did you remove these pellets?
Not every single one. A representative number.
Okay, so there's an exhibit that was shown to you by Mr. Waters of some pellets that you recovered. But that's not all the pellets you recovered.
That's all the pellets I recovered. I don't stay for days to recover each pellet. It's actually a lot harder than it looks. Here they look like you know exactly where they are, but you can fish for like an hour to find one pellet. It's fairly small and there's a lot of tissue, and
so I get
a handful of them and that's sufficient.
Did you keep the buckshot separate from the birdshot? Because this is birdshot.
I don't think any of it was actually buckshot. Buckshot is very large. So they were all, I believe they were all collected together.
Okay, so you thought they were all birdshot?
No, I didn't make that conclusion. They're some kind of shot. I didn't make a determination.
So you didn't determine the...
Yeah, that's really the firearms. I'm a pathologist. It's the firearms expert to determine what kind of shot it is.
So
I said shotgun pellets, and that's
right.
So sufficient.
If previous expert testimony was that the chest was a buckshot and the head was duck shot or some sort of bird shot, you're not going to disagree with that.
I really didn't. It all looked similar to me.
Okay. Now, Let me see Exhibit 111, please. And can you, I guess the lower left, well, maybe not. Let's start with the lower left of this, lower, his left, lower right there, okay? This is the total picture.
Okay.
And so what does this represent?
We can see his upper and lower teeth here, the upper teeth, the lower teeth. And so he actually did not have any fractures of his teeth. So the projectiles were going behind the teeth. His teeth were not all fractured out.
So would you show on Mr. Barber where these pellets would have been?
This is just a two-dimensional image. So they're anywhere between, like, you know, here and here.
Okay.
It's hard to say based on a two-dimensional image.
Okay. And I think, show us where you think the exit wound was.
The right side of the top.
The back of his head.
The top of his head.
The top of his head.
Toward the back.
Towards the back. And if you were to extend out the shoulder wound, the neck, the path of these pellets, and then the exit wound, I mean, did you actually see an exit wound? Was there?
Yes. It was a blown out exit wound of the skull. And that is how the brain left the skull.
Well, actually, his skull exploded, basically, correct?
The skull, and there was a defect there. I could not reapproximate the skull. So there's a piece of skull missing.
Was there a bevel around that piece of skull?
We don't get beveling when there's shattering of the bone.
Okay. We'll pursue that a little bit later.
It's not a typical feature. You could potentially see something that you can say, well, this looks like a little beveling. But in my experience, that's very difficult to assess because there's so much damage and fragmentation of the bone.
Take that pointer, please, using Mr. Barber as a mannequin. And show us the path of that shotgun blast.
So it was going along here and into the left side, I believe, you know, makes most sense like this, and out the top of the right side of the head.
So if you, and that was, you say, at least 3 feet away?
Yes.
Okay. Let me have that pointer again, please, and if you would step right over there. And just turn a little bit this way for me. Okay. So your testimony is, and correct me if you need to step over here and correct the angle.
No, I don't like that.
Okay, well, show me what you like.
I like this straight.
Right.
And then, because this is basically not, it doesn't look like it's going upward. It's going straight and then entering around there. So we have two distinct defects, a defect here and a defect there. So I believe the head was at least angled a little bit like that in order for the corresponding continuation of that defect to go in there. But I don't think it's going upward. I think looking at the left shoulder, it looks like it's kind of a, and if it was going upward, we wouldn't have as much in the neck as we do. So I think it's more like straight on.
But that would still be coming upward at some angle, right?
No, I think it's more straight.
How does it come out the top of his head?
Well, that's because if his head is like bent like that,
right,
then it's going to go in that direction. Yes.
If it's straight, it's going to go here and then out the top of his head?
Well, it absolutely could. You know, the thing about the neck, heads can be twist and turn, so it's not at all inconsistent with that. It's most reliable that we can look at the shoulder wound and see that it's kind of, you know, it's very difficult to assess the angle from where you're standing, and that's only because the head can bend and twist, and so we can only know where it entered and where it exited, and It's possible the head could have been twisted or turned to correspond.
Would it be more consistent if he turned your head the other way, Mr. Barber, like that, to get it out the top of the head?
You know, that could be. However, we have a defect over here. Okay. So how would that happen?
Pull your head back and keep it over in that direction. In other words, let me adjust him. Back and then over that way.
Yeah.
Is that consistent with it coming in here, going this way, and then out
yes.
the top of the head?
I think that the head tilt to the right, as you've just demonstrated,
right.
is perfectly consistent with that. However, because the hole here is here, I think even if his head's to the right, it would still be turned like that. Okay, now that makes sense to me.
So,
right.
So the shooter would be at least 3 feet away from that, right there, right?
Yes.
And would he have it up or would he have it down? Or
it's hard to say, and that's because the head can tilt. We only have one area of an entrance to interior that seems to be approximately horizontal, but it's impossible for me to say whether it's the entrance is kind of below him or at his level or potentially above him with Paul leaning over. It's hard to know. And that's because people aren't necessarily standing up straight. And they also, the thing about injuries on the head and that there's so much twisting and bending possible.
Okay, Ms. Barber, stand up straight. You get the crick there? Okay, I'm sorry. So now what you tell us is basically from here back on his skull, they can see. Why don't you stand over there for 2 seconds so you don't block him. From here back on his skull, and I've looked at your autopsy pictures, all this is gone.
To the right side.
To the right side.
And there were fractures on the left.
Okay.
So we know it's going in a left-right direction.
Do you have a seat for a moment, please? Thank you. I may be done with you, but don't put your coat back on. Okay, if you go ahead and take the stand again, please. Okay, let me ask you a couple preparatory questions. Are you familiar with this book?
Yes.
Okay, and it is like a definitive, I mean, I'm told most pathologists have read this. And
yeah, it's a highly respected book on gunshot wounds.
Okay. So, if you go to page 228 in this book, can you identify this as page 228 in this book? Those images?
Yes, 228.
Oh. Okay. Showing state a copy of page 228. Defense Exhibit 116. Is this a copy of what I just showed you out of the book?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, we'd offer this into evidence.
Set the state.
Your Honor, no objection.
Submit it.
Thank you.
That wraps up segment one of coverage for today, Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, 2023. The case against Alec Murdaugh. There is much more to come. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Washablesofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.